Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, honey, how you doing today?
Well, Jace is not napping at the moment, so I'm a little stressed.
Do I need to take the monitor from you?
You might have to, because he's doing so good at night now, but his naps still are just a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, he's not napping, and I feel like it's so hard because as a mom, and I don't say this in any disrespect at all, but we really need those naps, you know?
As a mom?
Uh-huh.
You don't think the dads do, too?
I feel like the dads, like, get their time regardless.
How?
That's just what I make up in my mind, that, like, you guys will have your time regardless. And, you know, it is interesting, though, because how we spend our time during that nap time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, you can explain what you do.
Well, you know, lunch has become my favorite meal because
a 2-hour process.
No.
Yes, it is.
Look, it's the only meal that I get to myself because breakfast is a scramble, dinner's a scramble, and dinner I'm usually cooking. So it's like cooking, then feeding the kids, then putting them down.
Whoever cooks doesn't feed the kid. So let's just correct that one a little bit.
What?
Every time you've cooked, have you ever had to feed the kids?
Yes.
Maybe once. Maybe once. Majority of the time, right? Whoever's cooking doesn't have to feed the kids.
That's never really been a spoken thing. It's
just out of respect for the fact that you're cooking. I'm not going to be like, hey, can you feed Jace too while I...
Well, I always try to help as much as I can.
For sure. But normally, whoever is cooking doesn't have to do the legwork of Jace.
Well, that's news to me, guys. So you guys are all witnesses that's where Jana's head is at. But lunch is the only meal that I don't have to scramble, or that we don't have to scramble. Mm-hmm. So I take my time and eat my lunch.
I love it. It's your time. You do you. You do you, boo.
What do you do?
I do laundry. I respond back to emails. I work. Yeah, but again, it's just we have different ways of doing us. So how's everything with you? What's going on in Mike's world? Since we love Mike's world.
Do we love Mike's world?
I don't know. You always say in therapy, you say in Mike's world.
Yeah, in Mike's world, I'm always right. And we know that's not the case around here. No, I mean, I think we're kind of falling back into our routine again after going on vacation and everything, and it's... But I will say I miss vacation. Like, I want to go on vacation again.
I know.
Like, I wish we could. Like, I wish we could go to the beach. I just wish things were normal, as everyone does, you know? And it's just, again, we've been in a fortunate situation where on a day-to-day, this all hasn't affected us as dramatically as maybe some people because of the line of work that we're in. But it's just...
See, I feel like it's affected our line of work drastically.
No, it has drastically. I'm talking about we don't have to go to an office every day. Like, we didn't have like an everyday show up somewhere and work, or every day have to go somewhere. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It drastically has financially for us, you know, and all the traveling that we were supposed to be doing and promoting in different shows and all of that. But I'm talking about the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know
the day-to-day,
what I mean?
For sure hasn't changed at all.
For sure. So it's just, I'm just kind of, I'm in a lull right now because I'm just tired of all this, as most people are.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I definitely hear you. I wish we could go on a vacation. I wish we could go to the beach. And I booked a film, but I'm even terrified to even discuss it, to name it, to say anything, because I feel like things in 2020 don't pan out the way you want it to.
Right.
They don't, it's not, you know, it's almost like when I got the offer, I was like, oh, this won't happen. Because the last movie we got ripped from 2 days in,
yeah,
or 1 day in because of the, you know, the start of the pandemic. So it's like, wait, no. Good things don't happen in 2020.
Fortunately, this one shoots in Nashville.
It does.
And Jana...
Which they kind of forgot to mention, like an hour north of Nashville. So it's like an hour.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, meh. But I mean, either way, like I'm like,
right.
My agents like sent me the offer and I was like, yes. And they're like, you have to read the script. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
They're like, no, you have to actually read. I'm like, I'm taking it. I don't care.
Right.
Like, and then I sent like an emoji of like a girl strip dancing.
No matter what it is, I'll do it.
I don't care. It's a part. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Jana's trying to lobby to get me in to play a minor part.
You'd be so good.
In the film. And what the best thing about it, I think we all need to lobby for this because the character I would play, very minimal speaking lines, like only three scenes, but one of the scenes.
It's like 10 scenes.
There's a lot more than you said.
Yeah.
But the best part is I'm the one that comes in and like breaks up the kiss when Jana's about to kiss her love interest. So how good would that be for all of you that know us if I'm the one that's portraying this person that this, you know, coincidentally breaks up the almost kiss?
It'd be so good. And I think you'd do amazing at it. The only issue that I see is my love interest. You guys hit, like, you know, he's attractive, but you're attractiver, and so
more attractiver,
and so they don't do that in casting. So,
but again, what I said was, we almost look enough alike where it could be.
You guys do actually look alike.
So it could be like, okay, they could be friends.
Yeah.
They kind of look alike. They should just make us brothers.
Oh my gosh!
Change the script. We're brothers.
That actually would be kind of cool because you kind of do look alike. Like you have the same like structure and face and
right.
like nose
and dark features.
Yeah.
They should make us brothers because that way it wouldn't be as weird like the chemistry between us is. Or maybe it would be even more scandalous. Maybe too scandalous for a Lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't even say what it is. No, it's okay.
Oh.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm just so afraid it's not going to happen. And I'm like, if I get two movies, I mean, again, like champagne problems, I know, but I've never booked two movies in a year,
well,
in like years. So like, I'm like, man, this could have been, I don't know. It just sucks because I'm sure a lot of people out there have, you know, either with the job promotion or this or that, or, you know, things that they were looking forward to doing. And then when it doesn't pan out, like a wedding or something, you get mm-hmm. bummed. And I felt guilty about being bummed about not filming the last one. And then to be like, wow, I got another off like that. That's just like that doesn't happen. And then I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. You're right. It's 2020.
Which is so unfortunate. But I'm very proud of you. And, you know, we try to take the silver lining with all of this. And at least you're being thought of and
true.
Hopefully have the opportunity and it can build momentum going into next year. But we have some great emails that we're going to get to today. So let's take a break and dive into those.
Okay.
All right, this is our first email from Anonymous. I've been with my boyfriend for a little over 3.5 years. Hopefully the ring coming soon. We have been living together for the past 7 months, and I would love to hear your advice on tackling a nighttime routine issue I am dealing with. My boyfriend prefers staying up late, either watching TV or playing video games, even on work days. But I am more of an early bird, so I'm usually in bed before him. I have voiced to him that I really dislike going to bed alone every night, and that I wish he would at least come to bed to watch TV. He has agreed to come to bed when I do one night a week. I'm not sure why this bothers me so much. I'm glad we have at least one day a week, but it still annoys me. Am I in the wrong here, or is there some validity to my feelings? How else could I communicate my needs to him?
I feel like she's being really nice.
Really nice.
But almost like too nice, where it's like, no, like you deserve more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
This is almost like the reversal of our situation where it's like I get like one or two nights to myself a week, but we've always historically gone to bed at the same time.
Yeah.
At least together. And to her point, like even if I usually stay up a little later, but I'm still in bed like next to you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's like I almost feel like only one time might not be enough in a week.
No.
It feels like it's so. But I mean, again, how can we say what works for some people works for the other, but
clearly
to me,
for them.
Disconnection, well, it's not working for her.
For her, yeah.
So it's like that disconnection, it almost feels like you would need more, I would think in a week you would need more time to connect than just one night, but.
Right, especially if both people are working. And what I would say is, because they've only been living together for 7 months.
Right.
What I anticipate what happened was, They went into this after dating for, you know, 3 years. Okay, let's move in together. No expectations were discussed around their needs and time together. So he just hasn't changed anything about his schedule or what he does, because when he was living on his own, this is what he was doing.
Sure.
So now he's not respecting the fact, not maybe not purposely disrespecting that she's living there, but just not respecting the fact that someone else is living there and that someone else's time also matters and that you should spend that time together.
He sounds young. Did it put an age?
No, it didn't put an age.
Like, that just sounds like an early 20s. Sure.
They're definitely probably young. There's no way a 40-year-old is...
Or even, I think, 30? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think that... No. But, I mean, who knows? But, again, like, this is what works for us as opposed to what might work for you guys. But I would think that... I would think you would need at least 4 nights of the week together.
More nights together than... not.
Yeah. I think, but having said that, though, look at our friend, you know, look at our friend, our good friends. Like, they don't see each other for 4 months at a time. And yeah. That's what works for them. I mean, gosh, then think about, like, army wives and army husbands.
Right.
They never see their people.
But that's not by choice.
Well, some probably are. I mean, they choose, right, to go into the army and stay, like, our neighbor, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah. I think, I mean, to answer her questions, I don't think she's wrong at all in having those feelings. There's definitely some validity. I would just have a sit down conversation and just and come from a place of, you're not trying to tell, right? Because guys, we don't like to be parented or controlled.
Yeah.
So just have a sit down conversation. Be like, look, I want you to have your time. I know that's important to you. I know you like staying up, watch TV, or playing video games, but I also need some more time with you. How can we come up with a compromise that's more than one night a week? Because that's not a compromise.
That's not a compromise, and it's not fulfilling my needs.
Right.
And my needs are important.
For sure.
As yours are too. So is there a way that we can work together to fulfill both our needs?
Boom.
Boom. I got this on the Wind Down Podcast Instagram. Hey, Jana, I know you have a ton of DMs flooding in every day. I just wanted to reach out because I found out yesterday that my husband of almost 3 years cheated on me with a girl from work. I'm so confused on what to do. I decided to stay with him right away and work through this, partially because of you guys and your podcast. That's awesome. I'm just confused and I don't know how to move forward. I want to just forget. I want to just forget about it and think it never happened and move on. I want to wake up like it was a bad dream. He says he doesn't even know why he did this. He doesn't have a reason. And he is the last person I would have ever thought would have done this to me. We are researching therapists in our area, and he's willing to do whatever it takes. What do you suggest I personally do for myself to move forward? First of all, thanks for responding. I love that through listening to our podcast, you can find hope in a situation where it's not easy. But I would say that, you know, in your situation, the fact that he's willing to go to a therapist is huge and do the work. Because there's a lot of guys that you've connected with, Mike, and they're like, I don't want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just too much work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that the fact that it seems like from the tone of your message is that he isn't being defensive or trying to blame it on her or turn it around or anything. It seems like he's owning his mistake. And the first part of that is his willingness to go to therapy. So good on you for trying and not just running. Not saying that, you know, leaving right away is it would be a bad thing. But, you know, obviously with our story, we promote to try to fight it out.
And also, like, what you can do today, it's staying in today. And I think that's, like, the hugest thing that has worked for me personally. Because, unfortunately, you're never going to wake up and be like, oh, it was just a bad dream. It's your reality now. And the only way that you can stay present and work on the relationship is if you stay in today and see what he's doing today and put, like, really great boundaries in place too. And we talk actually about all of this in our new book, The Good Fight, which we actually just did the Audible version of. But if you go to janaandmike.com, you can pre-order the book. It comes out in September, but there's a lot of great tips in there too. So
a lot of stuff that will help you in this exact situation.
Yeah, so hold out. You got this. Go to therapy and just remember, stay present, stay today, see what he's doing today, and focus on those actions rather than the past ones. From Leon Parker. Hello, I'm in search of someone I can spoil weekly. Sugar baby. so I can take care of you and pay your bills every week. I'll give you $200 every week. Will you accept my offer? So if anyone is wanting to, Leon
is this the guy Parker that...
20. No, there was a few that came in just the past week.
What?
Like, does someone actually, like, I know, like, you can be a guy. There have been times when I was in the red.
Right.
And I was stealing toilet paper from my job, and lights were turning off. I mean, the apartment that my mom and I stayed in, the lights shut off because we couldn't pay our bills. And I almost thought about, this is like, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm sharing this. I almost thought about my friend, which I will not name her name. She went to like a foot fetish place and she like had guys massage her feet. And she's like, you could make this much money. And I thought about it for like a second and a half.
Dirty girl.
No, but I was like, I needed the money.
Yeah.
So like when I look back on this and I'm like, well, if someone really needs the money, Leon-Parker 20 will give you $200.
That it's just.
It's creepy though.
What's creepy about it is that
I can't judge because there are certain things that we've all done in our life is.
For sure.
It's questionable.
For sure. But I mean, the balls on these guys just to be like, reach out anonymously to all these women. He probably sent that to how many people?
Hey, here's a good one I got too on the Wind Down podcast. I'm so grateful to you for putting your life, marriage, and struggles out there for people to hear. It takes a lot of courage, but you truly help people. I'm currently struggling with my husband's infidelities, who is claiming it's due to sex addiction. We have two young kids, and I'm really struggling with it. I haven't told many people because I'm afraid of their judgment and also my embarrassment. Mm. My husband and I are currently separated, and I'm really not sure if I'm willing to work things out. Thank you for helping me feel less alone. Thank you for showing me that there's life and happiness waiting after this dark hole. I'm sure it wasn't easy to share your experiences, but thank you. I know she really didn't have any questions. I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through, but I will say sometimes separation is good.
Yeah.
Especially when you have kids, to not let them be in that volatile, weird
when
place.
Things are toxic in that early on stages.
But I'll just say, if you got a tugging at your heart and he's willing to try and you're willing to try, anything's possible. Even though it's really freaking hard.
Really hard. And so it's going to be a long journey.
What can you say to speak on like claiming to be, when someone says like they claim to be a sex addict? Like what's something that like he could be, you know?
Claiming to be, I mean, that's my only fear with him claiming to be is he might be the example of why society thinks this is a married man's excuse. It's like, don't just, like, he's using it as an excuse. I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying the way that she made it sound, it was like he's using it as an excuse when it's not, you know? So it's an explanation maybe on some of his behaviors, but he needs to be showing her that he believes that he is.
But I'll just say this, and just like devil's advocate is like, you didn't believe at the time because you, when you heard it too, you're like,
oh, it took me a while to.
So I think like that's important too, to like, you know, that for people to know as well, like you're not just going to automatically like come up to that conclusion on your own. No. Like you're like, I think I might be, I don't know. Like,
no, even when.
So then what differentiates it?
Between thinking and knowing.
Yeah.
Acceptance. It's really doing the work and realizing that there's a pattern there, that there's a trend, that it's not just something recent, that there are reasons and explanations for your behaviors throughout your life in that realm. And so it's, yeah, and even so, it took a while for me to reach the level of acceptance where I can look myself in the mirror and say, I'm a sex addict. That's part of who I am.
I guess, why didn't you believe it then in the beginning when our therapist said, you know?
Because you don't really know what that means. Mm-hmm. And that seems so, right? A part of it, the step one is admitting that you're powerless and your life has become unmanageable. Well, for a man, for anyone, but especially for men historically, right? We want to be these, you know, strong, prideful individuals that aren't weak. To admit that something has power over us, that we can't control our lives, you know what I mean? So, it's I make up that it's a very difficult concept. At least it was for me, because I just feel like I've always been in control in so many areas of my life, and mentally and physically strong and tough, that to have something just take out my knees, you know what I mean, and just completely shatter my life, it's hard to admit that we're that weak in that moment. And there's so much shame involved with it. You just want to be in denial. You'd be like, I don't have a problem. I can fix this.
I mean, not to make this a sex addiction episode, but I think it's for people that are listening. What if, so like for her husband, for example, what would be the first step? Essentially, I know you said to say, admit that you are, but to like go, because maybe can someone just cheat and not be a sex addict?
Absolutely. People can still just make mistakes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all about the pattern.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all about the.
Which I guess what before you said that the pattern. So if he just cheated one time, he'd be like, "Well, it's because I'm a sex addiction," which then is the excuse.
Right.
But it's not the excuse. That's just you fucked up and you were bad and you did it. But that's you're just not in a healthy relationship. Like you're not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you're a sex addict.
No, right. Not at all. Okay. Like early on when I was going through all this, I remember my therapist in LA asked me, he was like, all right. Because I was having a hard time still like wrapping my head around certain, you know, I had still had days where I was like, I don't know if I want to accept this. Mm. You know what I mean? And he was like, okay, let me put it to you this way. Do you want to go grab a beer right now?
I hate beer. Oh,
no, I'm not. See, I'm a great actor. You believe me.
I know. You got to be the general. So your therapist said that to you.
Yeah. He's like, do you want to go have a drink? I'm like, no, dude. Like, it's like 1 p.m. Like, I'm good.
Oh.
And he's like, all right, well, what if I told you, do you want to go in a room by yourself and watch porn? And I was like, it took me, because I wanted to think about it.
You're like, is this a trick question?
I was like, you know what I mean? Like, not seriously, but in my head, I'm like, can I? Not that I wanted to, but still, that's where my urge wanted to go.
Interesting.
But offer me a drink, I'm like, no, why the fuck would I want a drink right now? So it's that, you know, that draw, that powerlessness over something that, like, to me, alcohol, even though I'm in a 12-step program, I know how to say no to alcohol. I know how to say no to drugs. Now I know how to say no to my vices that I had before. And it really kind of was one of those moments that even, you know, within the first year of me being in this program that I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, you know? So I think her husband needs to start looking into some of that, doing some introspective work.
Yeah. It's, that's one of the best ways you've ever put it before. Yeah. Yeah, where I'm like that makes a lot of sense. And cause it's been hard to explain it to some people.
Yeah.
Who think it's just an excuse or the married's main excuse or, but that makes a lot of sense because I think someone who just cheated would be like, no, I don't care.
Right.
Like whatever. It's just the opportunity was in front of me.
Right.
But it's not someone that's like, yeah. You know, so wow, that was, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable and open to share that.
Thanks, honey.
Of course. Do you have any other emails?
Yeah, we have some. You want to take
the only DMs that I have are all like, and I don't want to have to drag you through that. So.
You can drag me through some of it.
It's okay.
You want to take a break first and then we'll come back with something?
Let's do it. And then make sure to email us at winddown@iheartradio.com or go on the Wind Down Podcast Instagram and DM us questions there. You've been flooding the emails and Instagram lately, so we wanted to do an episode just solely based on some of these questions. So hope you guys enjoy it. We'll be back with some more.
All right, here's a different email that we haven't really gotten much of. This is from Michelle.
Okay.
She's a 30-year-old female looking for something long-term and recently met a 43-year-old divorced man with 2 kids. They've been dating.
Wait, say the ages again.
She's 30.
She's 30.
He's 43.
Okay.
Divorced with 2 kids.
Okay.
They've been dating for a little over 3 months and seen each other around once a week on average. When they first met, she asked him what he was looking for. This is what he typed word for word to her. Everything starts casual for me. I mean, I have 2 kids I need to consider and do not want them meeting just anyone. Having said that, if I like someone and they want a relationship, I'm not going to break it off because I don't want one. She's asked him if he's ever wanted to get married. Again, he said probably not. It would take someone really special. She doesn't know if she can have kids because of
endometriosis.
Yeah. Fast forward to yesterday when she wrote this. He invited me over for a pool party with his family. Kids were not there. I met his mom, siblings, their kids, and close friends. My question is, when do you think it's appropriate to have the relationship / exclusivity conversation? And when do you think it's appropriate to meet someone's kids? Which
How
I think
long
is a common
dating for again?
A little over 3 months now.
The kid thing is solely based on whatever the mom and dad have discussed.
For sure.
So if it's 6 months, a year, I know, like, I think my brother and his ex-wife did 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think she's close to.
No, I think three. But yeah, I think she's.
In my opinion.
You know, mine too. I wouldn't want, if we were to get divorced, which we're not, but if we were, I would at least put 6 months on it, because you just don't want your kids being around so many different people, I would think. But I mean, again, everyone has a different method to it. But I would at least wait a good healthy amount just because it's for the kids. But I also get, if I was in her shoes, I would be like, when can I meet them? And then I also, because of how I know I am, and he's like, when he says the, like, I'm waiting for someone special, and I'm like, it's me. I'm going to do everything I can to be that special one and, like, fight really hard for it, whether I don't even know if I wanted it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how my personality would be, like, with those little things he throws out there, like, well, if I meet the right one, and it's like, oh, hi. Like, choose me, pick me, because, oh, this is a competition. Like, I'm going to win.
Right. Well, that's where kind of with the stuff that he's saying, I don't feel very optimistic for this relationship because he's saying.
Day.
No, I'm just being honest. I'm just saying, as a guy, if he's just saying, yeah, if I meet someone special, well, you've been, quote unquote, seeing her for a little over 3 months. He would know if you're someone special.
Do you think a guy knows by 3 months?
He knows something's there. It's not like all of a sudden at month four, the woman's going to do something. It's like, oh, she's special. It's a gradual thing, right? So after 3 months of seeing each other, I mean, granted, she only said that it's on average like once a week. So it's not that often. I just don't think he's taking it very serious.
Do you blame him?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. That's the thing. I don't fault him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about it because you're right. Like, any guy that would say that, it would make me question, like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not the special one, then.
Right, and I make up in the woman's shoes. It'd be like, wait, I haven't met him yet. Like, you probably want to rush to meet him because you know anyone with kids, they only introduce them to someone special most likely in a healthy relationship. So it's like, if you haven't met the kids, shoot, even as a guy, say hypothetically, if we got divorced. We're not going to get divorced. But if we did, right, and I was seeing someone or dating someone and they had kids, and if I hadn't seen them, like, after a certain amount of time, you're like, damn, you don't see this going anywhere? Because I would want to be, I'm like you.
Have her call me. I'll talk to her.
I'd be the one to want to feel special enough to see the kids, right?
Yeah, it's just, man, I think back on one of our friends who's let his daughter see lots of different girls around, and it's I can see how that might have hurt her in her childhood. But it's just tricky. It's so tricky. I don't know, because in my mind I would just be like, here, like, hi, because I want to see how they fit into my life. I would want to see that. So, and I have a hard time going slow.
So you would introduce the kids to a guy quick?
I could see myself doing that.
I better get that written down in the papers.
I could see my, just because you know how fast I move. Like, I love you within 10 days or we're done.
That's true.
So
that's very true.
What if
we did a podcast, like, if we actually got divorced and we podcasted through the whole thing?
I mean, it would be the biggest train wreck ever.
And people would love it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Do it for the brand. I'm just kidding.
Do we have any more emails?
Yeah, we have a few more. From Anonymous. I've been with my man for 7 years. He's 29 and I'm 25. We live together and have plans to get married. We have had our ups and downs, but the number one issue is how to handle when he gets mad at me for not losing weight fast enough.
Oh.
It's hard because it makes me feel like I'm not good enough.
He's the Peloton guy.
He has threatened to leave me because of my weight and for looking through his phone. He did say he regretted saying that after. I'm not overweight, but I have emotionally put on weight from this. He loves me, but his temper gets the best of him. Am I a fool for staying, or should we try to make this work?
I feel like those questions are both about staying. Read the last two.
He loves me, but his temper gets the best of him.
Right. And then am I a fool?
Am I a fool for staying, or should we try to make this work?
Am I a fool for staying? Am I in?
We can say, yes, you're a fool, or you should try to make this work.
Oh, okay. So in my mind, I'm like, she still just sees staying.
Well, I think she, of course. Yeah. I think she does. And when she said, he made the comment about the weight. And he said he regretted it after.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Man, because that's, and I just want you to hear this. What's her name? Anonymous?
Anonymous.
His comment to you about your weight has nothing to do about you and your weight.
Nope.
It has everything to do with him and whatever he is going through. He is trying to hurt you, and he will find the one thing that knows will hurt you, and that's what he's doing. It has nothing to do about your weight. Nothing. I really want you to hear that.
And we're not just saying that because let me open up my mind to you. Anonymous. It's when Jana and I get into an argument, and as a guy, right, I'm still trying to emotionally mature myself on how to handle conflict. I've had a lot of moments, especially in the past, where when I would get angry about something, I would get mean, and I would say the things that I know would hurt Jana the most, because I would feel hurt or shame or guilt for whatever she had said, or for my past actions, or for whatever it is. So I would want to hurt back. And even if she didn't say anything to provoke that or start any conflict, and she was just saying something that triggered me, I would still be mean and try to cut her down, because maybe it was before all this discovery of what I was doing, and I had all that shame and guilt of acting out and having affairs. So I was angry, I was mean, I was resentful towards her for reasons that she had no idea why. So my fear is that there's definitely something going on with this guy. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying it's infidelity. I'm not saying it's one thing or the other. I'm just saying, like Jana said, he definitely has something internal going on with him, because he is taking that shit out on you to try to make himself feel better, to cut you down to his level. So as Jana said, I will mirror that. His comments about your weight have zero to do with you. No matter if you were 50 pounds or 250 pounds, it has zero to do with you.
I'm asking this because if it was, because obviously he's saying it all in the wrong ways. Hypothetically, if I gained 50 pounds because I, you know, stopped working out and I started to get really stressed about fears and anxieties and triggers, and I turned to emotionally eating, and I gained 50 pounds. Are you saying that you wouldn't say anything to me about my weight?
No.
What would you say?
I would address it in a way, obviously, I have to be really sensitive around it, but be like, honey, I've noticed that, you know, your eating habits have changed, and you aren't exercising like you used to. Because I know you used to love to run and walk and work out like every other day.
Are you saying I'm fat?
No, I just want you to be healthy. And just know that whatever it is that you're dealing with, I'm here for you. Is there anything you want to talk about? So it wouldn't even be about, for me, it wouldn't be about the weight. It wouldn't be about, okay, I'll start working out with you or anything like that. It would be about figuring out why you're eating, why your weight is fluctuating. Then you can, once you get to the root of it, what's going on, then you can be like, hey, I'll work out with you. Hey, like to get it off.
And there's where I was going to say, and that's the difference, but I'm going to caveat it. Is that the right word?
It put it right. Now.
Okay. Which brings me to my point. I am insecure about sometimes how I talk and I say the wrong things, like is caveat. And because I'm just relating to the situation, she's saying like he's mean and throws out the mean. Let's say we had that conversation about my weight and I'm over 50 pounds mm-hmm. or 100, whatever. But because it can be in y'all's blood sometimes to be mean about things that you know would hurt us, if we got into a conversation, just like with me being insecure about my words sometimes when we got into a really big fight and you said, I can't even put my words together like a toddler or whatever you said. But you knew that was going to hurt me. So mm-hmm. in that moment, could you also see doing that too about the weight? Like, and call me Porky or something, or you know what I mean? What difference is that to know that it's still the same, it's still hurting someone because of an insecurity they have?
I see what you're saying. It's a very good question. I think it's different if it's something that's always been an issue. Like when if it's something new, I would know something's going on. Like if you started gaining all this weight, I would know there's something going on.
But either way, what if I've always just had a little extra? Maybe like she said I'm not fat, but I'm curvier, mm-hmm. and that is my insecurity. I'm just curious what the difference is when being mean. And maybe that's something that when someone is mean, they can be like, no matter if it's about weight or how they talk or how they look or what they dress or how they sound, that mm-hmm. either way it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, no matter what. I think your question is fantastic, honey.
Thanks. I like yay. I feel like I never get this is kind of an inside joke between Mike and I whenever we podcast and the guests always say good question to Mike and I'm like, damn it, like I'm just not the great question asker, and sometimes I don't know how to connect words, and like no wonder why Jolie has a speech impediment, because I'm
stop.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, and you have thrown that in mean ways at times, and I'm like, that's, you know, so I just started thinking about that when we were talking about it. I'm like, what's the difference? It's hurt to hurt,
right? I think where there isn't a difference is the fact that it ultimately comes from the person that's saying the mean thing, whether it the male or the female or whoever, or the part, whatever partner saying the mean thing, it has nothing to do with the other person. It only has something to do with the person that said it.
Sure.
That's the common denominator. So no matter what the topic is, he's obviously got something going on internal that he's trying to, either he feels bad about how he looks, or there's something going on, or maybe he's got some depression. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something going on with him emotionally that he needs to figure out.
To lead to the temper question, though, that she asked, like, what does one do? Because I'll say for me, like, I have, in this relationship, been super rageful and, like, never fought back one day in my life. But in this relationship, like, I fight back. And something where that, like, I've had to do a lot of work with not fighting back and learning to like go in the closet and shut the door and like breathe. But for a man, like, what does a man do with one's temper? Like,
It's,
and what can the wife do with one man's temper or husband?
It's taken me, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's taken me a significant amount of time to finally more consistently walk away. And even so, there's been things that have come up that I'll maybe want to make a snarky remark about or something, and just I'll be frustrated and I'll want to pick a fight, and I'll just like, I just won't, and I'll just walk away and I won't say anything, and then like 5-10 minutes later I'm like, I can't believe I was about to start some shit over that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Anything recently?
Probably, yeah.
Oh my God, tell me.
But that's the thing. It doesn't even matter. Because it's something stupid that just I received away or that I just wanted to bring up just to bring up because of a feeling I was feeling in a moment. And then 10 minutes later, I'm just like, that was so dumb.
So then would your advice then to be before you go down the rabbit hole, walk away for five?
Yeah. Because
take a beat.
Yeah. Because the thing is, at least for me, right, even if I was starting to feel a feeling, because a healthy thing would also be, hey, I'm feeling this. You know, can you elaborate, you know, is there any truth to my feeling? Is there any validity to why I'm feeling this way based on what you said or did? My thing is that I have a hard time doing that from a great place too soon. Mm. And so I'll set expectations. And then if how you respond doesn't meet my expectations, I'll blow up even more. Mm. So I personally need to definitely walk away and let it dissipate. And then, I mean, I can't speak for the wives.
What I've learned though is that when I don't go into your anger and your mood of
just let Mike's me
like, I'm in a great place to talk. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Which almost pisses me off more.
Because I know. I'm like, you're not in a good place. And I'm like, I'm going to leave. Nuts. But I know. I'm like, I know.
Shanna puts on her teacher voice. Okay, Michael. I'm like, no.
I'm in a great place to talk. Let's talk about it. And I'm like, Michael, you're not in a good place right now. I'm going to do what the therapist said to do.
Oh, you're the worst.
But then you always have to come back with your tail between your legs. I hate it. Because you're like, oh, crap.
Think about it for the guys out there. Or relationships that have this issue. I heard this in one of my meetings one time. And it's always stuck with me. And the guy was like, you know, I'm just tired of always saying I'm sorry. And when he shared it, you just feel the weight just like
in the room
just drip off of him because he was just like exhausted from saying sorry so much. And I try to remind myself of that. I'm like, don't do anything that'll cause me to have to say I'm sorry because I'm just tired of saying I'm sorry. I'm so tired of it. But all in all, Anonymous, I do think you're a fool for staying.
A fool for staying?
That's what she said. She said, am I a fool for staying? So, sorry, more politely, I think you should reconsider staying in this relationship.
I think that he is not using his words right. Having said that, if we were to put our love story on paper and write down some of the things that you've said to me, and not include any of the good, what do you think that person would say to me?
Get the
So I'm just saying.
Great point, honey.
I'm just saying she didn't write the good in that.
You're right.
You can be mean. I can be mean. We can have really crappy fights. What he said is absolutely I'm not at all condoning any of that. It's wrong and it's about him. But until he chooses, she can say, I can't be in this relationship. And it's what I almost said to you. I'm like, I can't keep doing this if you're going to be this mean. Because that's not okay. No. And like, you are doing the work on it. So if she can say that to him and then live and then stand by that, and he's still being mean, well then, yeah, you're a fool for saying.
I love it. Good job, honey.
You too, babe. Anyways. Thanks to everyone who shared their stories, got vulnerable with us, trusted us to share their stories and give you any insight, take it or leave it. Again, we always say we are not experts. We just have been through hell and back, like we say in our book too. But we love you guys and so excited because we have a really, really awesome guest next week. So wind down later.
See you next week.
Bye.